Blog Talk Radio.
Show much trouble. What I was trying to describe to a fella yesterday, that old man's dead.
Yeah.
fellow I was talking to was drinking. And he told me, he said, I got to go home now and take care of my problems. I said, I think y'all sober up first. He said, well, I won't have the courage if I sober up. I said, well, that's pitiful. Beer is what it takes to give you courage. You ain't got no courage. I said, but I know somebody can give you some. Amen, to do the right thing. I'm thankful the Lord Jesus Christ has changed my old heart. Amen. It's on, brother. It should be on. Maybe you ain't got the right button pushed. There we go. Thank you. You hear it now? Amen. Well, we got it worked out anyway. Praise God. Good to be with you this morning. And good to be with those who are listening to us out in cyberspace on the internet. And glad to have them with us. And we're gonna pick up right where we left off last week. Y'all remember what we talked about last week? Or y'all slept since then? We talked about holiness. Well, we talked about Exhibit A. What was that? Y'all remember? It starts with an S. Separation. Remember, I told you, I looked it up, I Googled it, and all they want to talk about was divorce. Amen? Remember, see, the World Wide Web don't know much about being separated unto God. Amen? They're just thinking about husbands and wives. But no, separation, we talked about how it's removing the old and then dedicating yourself once you are His. Amen? To service wholeheartedly. Well, we're going to talk this morning about Exhibit B, and we're going to pick up right where we left off. So I want you to turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We read that passage in last week's message, and we're going to read it again this morning, except we're going to jump into chapter 7, one verse, and we'll tie this together. Because holiness doesn't just mean separation. You can get separated from everything, but that don't mean everything's right yet. And we're going to look at this morning. Very important theme to this message today. So I ask you, please, to focus on the message. Amen? I know there's about two or three of you in here probably worried about what the Cowboys are going to do this afternoon, but who cares? Amen. I know you're pointing at him. I see all that. He can get his mind off of it. Amen. Everybody get their mind off what's for dinner. Amen. Get your mind off of chores you plan on trying to handle this afternoon. Get your mind off of everything else that's going on. Let's focus on the Word of God this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And we're going to read down through the end of that chapter. And we're going to read verse 1 of chapter 7. Are you ready? Let's read that. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Believers shouldn't yoke up with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Amen. There's no fellowship. You can't have fellowship means we have something in common. And lost people and saved people, only thing we have in common is this old body of sin. That's it. Amen. And I don't want to dwell on this old body of sin, so I really don't have much in common with lost people. Amen. What communion hath light with darkness? They don't mix. It causes confusion. Y'all have seen what happens at twilight. More accidents happen at twilight than any other time of the day because it's confusing. When light and darkness begin to blend, there's shades of gray and things don't look as they really are, and it's confusing and dangerous. Amen. That's the same way with spiritual things. You can't blend the two. Amen. And the Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Jesus and the devil ain't got nothing to do with one another. Amen. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? We can't say, well, we got this part together, because we don't. We have nothing together. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God's a jealous God, and he's not going to share. For we are the temple of the living God. God lives in us. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. That's the ungodly. That's the unbelievers. That's the unrighteous. That's the darkness. That's the devil's crowd. That's the infidels. God says, come out of there. Get away from it, and be ye separate. Don't be like them at all, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. That's a theme right there we're going to look at today. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Then shift over to chapter 7. And the Lord said, through the Apostle Paul, having therefore these promises that God will be a father unto you and receive you, dearly beloved, let us do what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you for your power and your help now. I ask you, Lord, to supply me with everything that I need to preach this message. Lord God, I pray for each and every one who's here under the sound of my voice. And Lord, even those who are out around the nation and around the world, Lord, under the sound of my voice, that are listening to us by way of the internet, Father, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, bless each and every one, Lord, who seeks the truth. Lord God, I pray you deliver it this morning through this vessel. Lord, I need you today, and I praise you and give you honor and glory. And I ask, Lord, for the Holy Ghost of God to control me, control my thoughts, control my lips, control my actions. Lord, I yield myself to you. I ask you to cleanse my old life of sin. Lord God, fill me with the power of your Holy Ghost. Help each and every one that's here this morning to hear the Word of God, to receive the truth of the Word of God. Lord, help them, Father, clean their life, Lord. Lord, that they might come to you to be cleansed. Father, we need you this morning now. We pray for your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't think I have to tell you the title. The title is Cleansing. Amen. That's another. We had Exhibit A last week. What is holiness? What does practical holiness mean? First thing we talked about was positional holiness, right? Positional means it means where you're at. And holiness or sanctification means God has reached and got you, and he has you now, and you're his. Okay, that happens when you get saved. Amen. God doesn't leave you over there by yourself. God takes you to himself. You are a part of the family of God. You're in Christ. You're a child of God now, and God has separated you to himself. So positional holiness is something that does not change. Amen. I can't never be a lost sinner again because Christ has saved me from that. Amen. I'm a part of the beloved. I've been grafted in like a wild olive branch. Ain't nothing going to change that. I'm adopted. And once you get adopted, you can't get unadopted. Amen. I thank God for that. Listen, now, once I'm his, I'm new. I'm changed. I'm different. I'm not the same as I used to be. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. A new creature. Amen. He's made me new. All things have become new, the Bible says. But only one problem. I'm still dragging around this old body. And this old body's weighing me down. This old body still has every desire of the flesh that it ever had. It'll never lose those desires. The only thing that I can do is submit myself to Christ, so that this body don't have nothing to do. And that Christ is in control. And when Christ is in control, the flesh is not. But once I step away from Christ and begin to look back at the old ways, guess what happens? This old flesh gets in control. Or let me put it this way. It doesn't get in control. I yield control. You yield control. And that's when we get in trouble. Amen. So what we want to do is find out what God wants, and God has told us. He's told us, look, first thing you need to do is you need to come out from where you used to be. Amen. Listen, when a fella gets saved, let's just make up somebody out of the blue. He ain't got to have a name. Let's say a fella gets saved. Before he gets saved, let's just say, for example, some guy here in town that plays in a heavy metal rock band. Let's just say some guy out of the blue. We'll just make him up. Long-haired, tatted up, got jewelry stuck through his face and everything else. I mean, hardcore drug addict, drinking, partying. He gets born again. Guess what? I think he's going to look around and say, wait a minute. I can't keep playing this music to glorify Satan. You know, it's going to bother him if he's truly born again. He's going to end up reading the scriptures where it talks about a man not having long hair, and he's going to look in the mirror and say, you know, I shouldn't have this long hair. It's not honoring to my Savior. This, I look like a woman. I need to cut this off. Listen, that doesn't make him saved. He's becoming what God says, according to the Word of God. He'll look in the mirror and see all that jewelry stuck in his face and say, that's not Christian. That doesn't represent my Savior. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to look like pagan folks. So he'll pull that stuff out. That doesn't make him any more saved. But it's giving him a test. His testimony's changing, you see. Amen. And guess what? He's not going to go back to the bars and sit and drink and cuss and do all the things he used to do before. He's different now. He may try under the influence of some of his friends because of his lack of experience with Christ. He may try. He may try to go back and hang out with them, but he's going to find out real soon he doesn't fit in because he's not the same anymore. It's going to bother him. Amen. Now listen. That's the way God designed it to work, amen? I know some people, boom, the moment they get saved, hey, I'm through with all this stuff. Some people, it just takes a little scrubbing their nose in dirt a little bit to figure it out. Because some of them are more hard-headed than others, amen? But the truth of it is, God wants us clean, amen? Now let's look there at verse 1, chapter 7 again. The Bible says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. And I read that and I went, whoa, wait a minute. Because I remember what 1 John 3:9 says. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And the verse we just read said, all filthiness of flesh and spirit. Well, my spirit cannot sin. It almost seems like we got a conundrum there. But then I read 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where Paul is saying, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And what he's saying is all of you belongs to God. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, our spirit can't sin. Okay? But listen to me, you're not just a spirit. Your spirit and soul and body. Amen? So if there's filthiness in your life, it's coming from your flesh. And it is hurting your spirit. Your spirit ain't doing it. Amen? But the filthiness is affecting your spirit. So the filthiness needs to get out so you're not corrupting your testimony to the world with a body that's doing things it shouldn't do and making your spirit suffer in the process. And hurt it, and your soul is how you communicate with all of your brethren and sisters all around you, and that's coming from your soul. See, that's afflicting your soul. So Paul said, you know what? My hope and prayer for you is that you would be just like Jesus Christ. That's what I'm praying for. Amen. So listen to me. Before we get into how we cleanse ourselves, let's get one thing perfectly clear and straight. God hates uncleanness. God hates uncleanness. If God hates something, then guess who else ought to hate it? I should. You should. We should never love something God hates. Amen? What a rude thing to do to our Heavenly Father who loved us and he went further than anybody else could have ever to purchase us. He went as far as it took. He gave the very best he had. He held nothing back from us. Amen. So why in the world would we ever want to do something that he hates? So let's look at this. God hates uncleanness. We're going to look at a few things before we wrap this message up today. Amen. God hates the rotten, stinking breath of worldliness. Oh, it's rotten. It's rotten. To come out of a believer's mouth, worldliness stinks like rotten tooth. Amen? It really does. Ain't nothing worse than talking to somebody with horrendous breath. Amen? Right in your face trying to talk to them, and it smells like death eating a fig Newton. Amen? I mean, it's terrible. But listen to me, when a Christian is talking the world's nonsense and filth,
It stinks. God hates it, folks. Hey, he says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Don't you dare love it. Hey, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love this world and love God too. If you love this world, you don't love God. You're not showing God any love. You're not showing him the reverences due unto him. You're not giving him glory. You're not praising him. Your life is wasting away with worldliness. This world is passing away. This world will pass away. This world's going to go to hell. This world's going to burn up with a fervent heat. And why in the world would we who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God ever want to look back at this world with fondness? God hates it. It makes him sick. It's abomination to him, this old nasty world. God hates the rotten breath of worldliness. Tell you what else he hates. He hates the gangrene of impure desire. Impure desire. The Bible has a word for it. It's called lasciviousness. In Ephesians 4:17 through 24, impure desire, do it wanting to do things that are vile, wanting to do things that are wrong. Amen. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about sexual impurity. I'm talking about folks sitting and looking at the internet, looking at pornography. I'm talking about watching stuff on TV that's got filthiness in it. Setting an evil thing before your eyes. Going to the movie house and watching filth. I'm talking about reading novels that's got Fabio on the front of it. Them things is full of filth. Ain't nothing but a pornographic movie on paper. Amen. Watching them soap operas that ain't nothing but just pure D, a sin fest. That's all it is. Watching them sitcoms that make jokes about God and poke fun at sexual misconduct. Listen to me. It's filth. God hates it. Hey, I said he hates the gangrene. Y'all know what gangrene does, don't you? It rots stuff away. Makes things unusable. Amen. Makes them where they fall off. Amen. They rot away. Amen. In Ephesians 4:17-24, he said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Let me break that down for you. He said, from this point forward, since you got saved now, don't you live like everybody else in this world lives, because they ain't nothing but empty-headed. Their life is wasted. It's for nothing. That's what that means. He said, having their understanding darkened. Remember Wednesday night we talked about spiritual blindness. They can't see. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand what God's trying to say. Listen, let's save people today who don't know what God wants them to do with their life. They don't understand the will of God because they're willfully blind. They're living in dangerous territory. They're living with the discipline and the chastening of God, and they're too dumb to get out from under it. And we're in God. God's long-suffering. He's a lot more long-suffering than you or I'd be. I don't understand how he's so long-suffering sometimes. Amen? Because I see people going for years and years and years. And they have the testimony of Christ, but yet they still are doing things that they know good and well a Christian shouldn't be doing. He said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They don't understand that. Christ said, I've come that they might have what? And they might have it what? More abundant, better than everybody else's guy. Amen. There's something that I know y'all don't care about football, but Jim Harbaugh, he just got turned loose from the 49ers, but his dad was a football coach, and he instilled it in both his sons. Right before they go out to the field, they all get in a huddle and they say, "Who's got it better than us?" And they all holler, "Nobody." Amen. Listen, they can say that all they want to, but that belongs to us. Who's got it better than us? Nobody. Amen. Because you know what? We belong to the child. We belong to God. Amen. We're a child of the King. Amen. Listen, he said they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Can I tell you what that means? That means God's trying to get through to them. And he's saying, J.D., don't do that anymore. Don't do it. You know what? They just ignore God. And I tell you, that's scary, but you can get to where you can tell the Holy Spirit to hush. You know what? In conviction, not even really. I mean, God will whoop you. God will discipline you. But you get so hard-headed, you don't even realize it's God. Just like it's just bad luck. Why am I having all this bad luck happen to me? All this trouble hitting me. I don't understand why life's so hard on me. See, you get your understanding darkened. You get alienated from what a child of God's life ought to be. Tell you something. Your heart will get blind. I mean, that's a sad, dangerous state to be in. But see, when you're unclean, guess what? You can't see what God's trying to show you. When there's uncleanness in your life, and he says, who being past feeling, they cannot feel what God's trying to do in their life. Listen, they have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, lewd sexual thoughts and feelings. These people sits on church pews every Sunday that have addictions to things of the flesh. Things that are ugly. And you know what? They're blind. They don't listen. They've been doing it so long. You know, big deal. And God trying to get through to them. And they're in danger. God don't want us living like that. God wants us clean. Amen. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Hey, I like it, and I want more. I want all I can get. My flesh feels good. Give me some more. Give me some more. Sit up all night looking at stuff they ought not look at. Amen? Sit and watch show after show, stuff they ought not look at. Listen to stuff that they ought not listen to. He said, but you've not so learned Christ. That's not the way a Christian is. That's not the way God wants you to be. That's not the way he wants you to be molded into and conformed to the image of his son. Hey, if so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, he said that you put off the former conversation, the old man. You get rid of the way that you used to be. You get rid of that lifestyle. You don't live in that. He said, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Your lust of your flesh lie to you. And they drive you and they motivate you when you're in that condition. You're living according to the lust of your flesh and not the will of God. And you're living unclean. And he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. How do you do that? Through the washing of water by the word of God. You let the word of God clean out all that garbage that's in your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we sang about a while ago. Listen, the old man is dead. I may look the same on the outside, but on the inside, I'm changed. I'm different. I put on the new man. I want to live for Christ. I want to have a relationship with him every day that I live. I don't want to skip a day. I don't want to go for long periods of time where I don't talk to God and I don't hear from him. Listen, that's not how God designed this thing. Amen. God designed that we be holy as he is holy. God's a jealous God. God demands that we live pleasing unto him. He hates impure desire. He hates the slime of pride. And he wants to wash it off of you. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. I don't like being ashamed myself, you. Ain't a good feeling to be ashamed, is it? To have shame put on you. To have to duck your head and not want to face people. Not want to look somebody in the eye because you're ashamed. Amen? You'll be around somebody, you got kids that way. You're getting on to them, they don't even want to look at you. Why? Because they're ashamed of themselves. They're getting in trouble. pride to do. You think you're so, you're all that. You think to yourself, it's me. Ain't no big deal. Hey, I do what I want to. Full of pride. Thinking you're better than everybody else. And you can do whatever you want to. Because you're full of pride. It'll bring you down. Amen. Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Well, so far, that's not a good track record. Well, you got shame and you got contention, which is fighting everywhere you turn. Trouble. Fighting with spouse, fighting with kids, fighting on the job, fighting with friends, fighting. Why? Because you think you're better than them. You think you're smarter and you're better than everybody. Amen. You know more. People full of pride, they say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I just feel like this. I just think that. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. Shame, contention, destruction. That don't sound like it's going to work out very well for you if you're full of pride. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Wow. I'm going to be ashamed of myself. I'm going to have fighting in my life. My life is going to end up destroyed. And God said it's going to bring you low. You know what? Everything that God intended for you, you're going to miss it. All the blessings of this life that he intended to pour out on your life, you're going to miss them. Why? Because you were dirty with pride in your life. And guess what? It ain't just about this life either. Guess what will happen if you live this life full of pride? Oh, guess what? Someday you're going to stand before Christ. I'm talking about if you're saved now. I know some people say, well, saved people don't live like it. Well, some people are backslidden. Very. And when they live their life full of pride, guess what? When they stand before Jesus, there ain't going to be no reward. It ain't going to be there. So they're going to be brought low at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. And then, wait a minute, then there's the millennial kingdom. Guess what? God has designed for you to rule and reign with him. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know where you're going to end up in that. But I can tell you this, you're not going to have no prominence in it. God's not going to reward unfaithfulness. Amen. Man's pride should bring him low. Listen, God hates that stuff. That's what caused Satan to get cast out of heaven. Lucifer, that's what got him thrown down out of heaven. Amen. That's how come he is Satan. Amen. He rebelled against God. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted the throne of God for his own self. And a person that's full of pride, they are their own God. They are their own idol. See, God hates some things. He hates uncleanness. Amen. He hates and wants to remove the cancer of covetousness out of your life. In Ephesians 5:5-7, the Bible says, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. I used to read that, scare me to death. But I want you to understand something. I'm not no whoremonger. You know why? Because I've been washed from my sins. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm not unclean. You know why? Because I'm not an unclean person. I'm a child of God. Amen. But a child of God still has the capability, because they're carrying around that body of flesh, to revert to that old behavior and become unclean and vex their spirit and vex their soul, amen, through unclean activities. And God says, listen to me, those are things that damn a soul to hell. Don't let anybody deceive you, telling you empty words, puffing you up, saying, oh, live how you want to live. God knows. Hey, Jesus, hey, wink, wink. Jesus, all right, he knows you're a sinner. It's okay. That's the preaching of most churches today. Not directly like that, but roundabout. But you know why I say it's like that? Because they don't ever deal with what we're dealing with this morning. So they imply, hey, it's okay. We're all about making ourselves feel better. It's all about making us feel good about ourselves. That's what church is most places now. Feel good. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody lie to you. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God. This is why God is going to put people in hell, because of this filth and sin. Listen to me. You're not like that anymore. Amen. He said, be ye therefore not therefore partakers with them. Don't go back and act the way you did and get unclean. God said, I hate that. If God hates it, it ought to make us tremble to think about doing it. Covetousness. Listen, in this passage, listen, Matthew Henry said, by a covetous man, some understand a lewd, lascivious libertine who indulges himself in those vile lusts which were accounted the certain marks of a heathen and an idolater. Others understand it in the common acceptance of the word, and such a man is an idolater because there is spiritual idolatry in the love of this world. He says, as the Epicurean makes a god of his belly, and the Epicurean means if it feels good, I'm going to do it. He makes a god of his belly. Whatever I want, that's what I'm going to do. He says, so the covetous man makes a god of his money, sets those affections upon it, and places that hope, confidence, and delight in worldly good, which should be reserved for God only. He serves mammon instead of God. Whether it's a man who says, I'm going to do whatever I want with whomever I want, or whether it's a man that says, my money is all that's important to me, you still got the same old theme running. Do what you want to do. Hey, listen, isn't that what this unclean world is screaming at us right now from every corner? You want to go fool around with another man? Hey, go right ahead. We'll applaud you. Lady, you want to go marry another woman? Hey, we'll applaud you. You want to murder your baby boy born? We'll applaud you. This world is screaming at us to accept uncleanness. They're threatening us with it. Amen. You know why? You know why when most America, I'm talking about the majority of America, I can't even say that anymore, a large percentage of America is still opposed to all that. How is it that it's so pushed upon us? Can I tell you? Because the heads of the corporations of everything we buy are full of those kind of people. So they're going to push their product on us. The few press their ideas upon the whole. See, God hates that stuff. God doesn't want you to have anything to do with it. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. That old saying, it says a boat is safe in the ocean as long as the ocean is not in the boat, and a Christian is safe in the world as long as the world is not in the Christian. Amen. God hates uncleanness. He hates the rust of selfishness. Selfishness. I, me, mine. I'm going to get mine. Get out of my way. Let me get mine. Some people got that attitude. Get out of my way. I want mine. I'm first. Me. Look at me. Selfish. They got more than I did. Sound like a kid, don't it? That's grown-ups act like that. Absolutely. 1 John 3:7. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion against him, from him, says, I'm not going to let you have what I have because that's mine. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How's God at work in your life if you look at some brother that has a need and you say, I ain't helping you because that's mine? God's not at work in your life. You're full of uncleanness. And God can't operate in that economy. He won't. God's not going to share. He's not going to. Your body's his temple, right? God is not going to share that temple with uncleanness. You remember last week when Hezekiah went to the house of God? And he opened the doors was broke down, he went inside and it was full of filth. They didn't have church, amen, until they got it cleaned out. And they got it back like it ought to be. And God's not going to work in your life as long as this junk is in your life. You're just spinning your wheels. Again, you're like a drunk man stuck in the mud. Amen. You're just revving it up, about to blow the motor, and you ain't going nowhere. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be what? What's the first one? Lovers of their own self. First thing he mentions, they're going to be lovers of their own selves. More than lovers of God. See, selfishness abounds. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's the reason on Sunday morning sometimes I say, all right, turn and shake somebody's hand and tell them you're better than I am. You're better than I am. You know why? It's esteem one the other one better than myself. You're better than me. That's what that's it. That's what that's all about. You're better than me. I know I ain't no good. You got to be better than I am. Amen? You got to be better than me because I ain't worth nothing. I know me. I look in the mirror at myself all the time. I know who I am. Amen? And so guess what? I'm not the most important person here. Some people come to church, man, they walk in the back door. Glad to grace y'all with my presence today. Glad y'all got to see me. I'm not saying here. I hope that ain't happening here. But it happens a lot of places. Y'all know what the word snooty means, don't you? Snooty. I can't stand snooty people. I mean, think they just better than everybody. That's the kind of person God's talking about. There's a lot of Christians like that. I say Christians. I don't know if they're Christians or not. But there's a lot of people masquerading as Christians if they ain't. That act like that. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That don't mean snooping everybody else's business. Amen? That don't mean go peeking in other people's business, trying to dig around and find dirt in their life so you can say, look, you better be worse than I am. No, that's what we're saying. He's saying, quit worrying about taking care of yourself and find somebody else with a need. Let's don't sit around depressed with your bottom lip stuck out crying over all your problems. Invest yourself in somebody else's problem. Help them get theirs taken care of, and God will send somebody to help you with yours. God hates the rust of selfishness. He hates the mold of envy. By the way, all this is introduction. I won't scare you or nothing, but God hates the mold of envy. Definition of envy out of the Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary says, pain, uneasiness, mortification, or discontent excited by the sight of another's superiority or success. You see somebody else is blessed, something else good happened to somebody else, causes you pain. Why didn't that happen to me? Uneasiness. I just don't like the fact that there are good things happening to them. Ain't nothing good happening to me. Said it's usually accompanied with some degree of hatred or malignity, and often or usually with a desire or an effort to depreciate the person. You want to run them down, put them down, tear them down, and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. Man, when you knock him down, hey, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you thought you was big shot, didn't you? You thought you had it all, didn't you? Now look, I done put you in your place. That's envy. That's awful, isn't it? Envy springs from pride, ambition, or love, mortified that another has obtained what one has a strong desire to possess. You can't believe somebody else got what you wanted. That's it. God hates that. The Bible says in James 3, 14 through 16, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, because that's what you'd be doing. This wisdom descendeth not from above. God didn't give that to you, but it's earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, I'm going to throw a song book at him if he don't wake up. Wake up. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And every evil work, you start getting jealous of what others have, guess what? Everything's going to go chaos in your life. God is the one who pours blessings out. God meters it and distributes to every man as he will. And if we get sour on what God is or isn't giving us, oh, the devil has a field day. He will create chaos in your life. God hates the blight of hate. So what's blight? Well, one day you walk out and everything in your garden looks healthy, and the next day you walk out and everything starts wilting. Something called a blight. And everything is going downhill. I mean, every fruit that's on there is going to rot. And you know it, and ain't nothing you can do about it. It's got a blight. Guess what? You get to where you hate somebody, everything that was going on good in your Christian life just dies. Get mad at somebody, get bitterness going in you, swelling up. I mean, it'll ruin you. It'll ruin your testimony. It'll ruin everything about you in your Christian life. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God don't play with stuff like that. God says you got hate in your heart. You want them, you just soon have them dead and gone. That's the way you really feel. See, God wants to separate us from uncleanness. God wants us not only to get away from it, but guess what? Once you've gotten away from it, let's get it out of you. Let's don't say, well, you know, I'm feeling a little convicted this morning. I'm feeling a little convicted. God, he's been dealing with me. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to tell you I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been ugly. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. And then I get up. And I ain't get clean. I just said I'm sorry. Lord, I ain't going to do that no more. I don't want to do that no more. Lord, I don't want to do it no more. But you didn't get clean. You just said I don't want to do it. You separated yourself off from it. Guess what? If you don't get it out of you, you go right back. All you done put a Band-Aid on it. You put a Band-Aid on a giant wound. You need it cleaned out. Amen? If I gash my arm open on a rusty piece of metal, it ain't enough for me to just put a Band-Aid over it. I got to go have them clean it out. Put that old Betadine or whatever it is in there and get that thing all clean. Iodine, I mean, clean it out. I may need a shot. I got to get it clean. Amen? That's the same way with you spiritually. You need to get clean. See, God intends for us to live pure lives. You may say, well, that's setting the bar kind of high, isn't it, preacher? Pure? Well, Christ is the bar. So that's too high. Well, you got a lifetime to aim for it. Amen. Every day you live, all day long. That's your aim. That's your aiming point. Amen. Now we're into the message. It ain't gonna take us long, we'll be done. All right. I just want to let you know. It ain't gonna take long. The longest part was introduction. So you understand how much God hates uncleanness. So now we've separated, we need to get clean. Amen. He intends for us to live pure lives, and there's three renderings of the word pure that I want us to look at this morning. And all three relate to the cleansing in the life of a Christian. All right? And I'm going to use an illustration so this is easy for you to understand. Let's say, for example, that you were cleaning out something at an old house and you find a gold coin. Boy, that'd be a good day, wouldn't it? I mean, a big one, too. You find a big old gold coin, but guess what? It's dirty. Which is underneath a bunch of stuff. Maybe it's under a bunch of rusted old stuff or something. But you pull it out of there and it's dirty. But guess what? It looks like a gold coin. Red letter day, man. I got to go find somebody and tell me something about this coin. Okay? Well, first thing we need to do is test it and see if it's real, first of all. Right? We'll check it to see if it... Make sure this ain't some phony baloney something rather somebody left in a drawer somewhere. Well, that relates to this, and I'm not all about the Greek, but listen to me. I believe you can look at and learn something every now and then. I don't know if I can say this. Alikrinos, I think that's how you say the word. But it's a rendering of the word pure. That's where we get the word pure. And here's what it means. It's rendered two different ways. First of all, it's rendered pure, but also it's rendered sincere. All right? what it literally the word, the definition, it means it signifies that which has been judged by the sunlight and is found to be genuine. Let's get it out in the open. Let's separate. Let's look at it and see if it's real. Amen. Scripture on it, 2 Peter 3:1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Paul's saying, listen, I know y'all believe. He's saying, I want to stir up your pure minds. Listen, they are thinking on the things of Christ. I want to get you stirred up thinking from a spiritual standpoint. That's what that word there means. Listen, I've checked you. I know you're real. And then we see in Philippians 1:10 that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I learned something a long time ago about that word sincere. If you break it down into its two syllables, sin meaning without, sere meaning wax. What they used to do back in former centuries, when somebody would buy sculpture, they'd buy like a marble statue or something. A lot of times what they would do, they'd have to heat test it. They'd heat test it because a sculptor, he might be pecking along there and he might accidentally hit it and knock a chunk out he didn't mean to knock out. Well, one or two things got to happen. Either he's got to sell it at a discounted price, or he's going to take some wax and he's going to melt some wax into that chunk he knocked out, and he's going to buff it and polish it so it shines just like the rest of the statue, and it looks good as new. So in order for someone to check it and make sure it's sincere, they got to put some heat around it. They take a torch of some kind and put it all around that statue, and guess what happens? If it's not sincere, that wax is going to run right down. They're going to say, what's that chunk out of there right there? That ain't right. Without wax. God says you and I are to be sincere. Amen? God wants to make, God wants us not only to come out from the rest of the world that's lost, but he wants us to be genuine. He wants, when the world looks at you, to say, they're genuine believers. They're the real deal. We've tested them in daily life out in the sunlight. I mean, in real scenarios, amen. It ain't just something they talk about at church. I've watched their walk. I've seen how they react to troubles. I've seen what happens when hard times come in their life. And they don't bow their head and curse God. They bow their head and pray. Amen. They don't shake their fists at God. They raise their hands toward heaven. Amen. They don't fall apart. They get stronger in the Lord. They're real. They're without wax. They're sincere. That's what it means, get clean. Amen. You get clean, man. You can walk like that. You get clean. You get the world out of you. Well, what's the second thing we do that gold coin we found? Well, it's dirty, wasn't it? Well, here's what we do. We get... I don't know what it would be, with the proper cleaning fluid to clean a coin. I'm sure they make it. I don't know what it would be. I would say jewelry cleaner because it's gold. Amen. So you get some jewelry cleaner because we begin to look, even though we may have wiped it off, they still between the numbers or between the letters or down in the ridges around the outside, there's still some dirt in there in the hidden places, kind of off where it's hard to get to. That's kind of the way it is in your life and my life. There's still some things in the hidden corners of our life that we know they're there. And as much as we want to pretend that everything's squared away in our life, the truth of it is there's still some uncleanness hiding out in all our lives that we all need to get rid of. Amen. So what do? Listen, we need to get clean from all of it. Well, that's why they take that cleaning fluid. Listen, I know this. I've watched enough episodes of these pawn shops shows to know this. Hey, they have a grading on them coins. They grade them. Anytime they're in the little packages up in the top, there's a number. And that tells you how much it's worth, goes by that number, that grading number. And listen, if it's still got dirt in it, I guarantee that number ain't going to be as high. Listen, they want it clean, amen? They want it shining and pretty and clean. And the Greek word hagnos is what it means, is pure from every fault. 2 Corinthians 7:11 has that word in it. It says, for behold, this self-same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. God broke your heart about your sin in your life. What carefulness it wrought in you. And by the way, you won't ever get clean from sin until God breaks your heart about it. You can't fix it. Hey, and if you're not broken over your sin, can I give you a suggestion? Pray for it. God, break my heart. God, show me what's wrong with me. God, make it plain to me what I need to get right with you. Please, Lord, take the blindness off of my eyes and let me see myself the way you see me so I can get clean. He said, you sorrowed after a godly sort. God broke your heart. What carefulness it wrought in you. I don't want to mess up again. I don't want to displease God. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. I want to make sure it's all gone. I want to make sure my life is pure before God. What indignation. Man, it makes me mad at the devil that he got me in that shape. Yea, what fear. Oh, I want to please God more than anything. What vehement desire. My heart just beats for God, and I just want to live for God. Yea, what zeal. What revenge. I want to get back at the devil by living right for God. I want God's power in my life. I want my life to be a testimony to what God can do. In all things, listen, he said, you have approved yourself to be clear. That word clear there, hey, that's hagnos. It's pure. Pure from every fault. He said, y'all have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. All that stuff I talked to you about before, listen, all the stuff with the man and his father's wife and all that stuff and being puffed up and proud, he said, in all that, y'all proved yourself to be clear. You got all that uncleanness out. And by the way, there's another time here where it's talked about that same word. In 1 Peter 3:1-4, the Bible says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, why is that important? Is that just because God don't like feminists, you think? You think God just wants to be hard on feminism? Is that what it is? I think God has a point of doing that. See, God has a picture of Christ and his church. Amen? Christ is the head. Church is underneath the head. Amen? He put the husband there to represent Christ. He put the wife there to represent the church. The church is subject unto Christ, and the wife is to be subject unto her husband. And the Bible says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that, here's the reason, if any obey not the word, if a wife has a husband who's not saved, yes, God told you not to be unequally yoked, but you've already gotten yoked. You can't undo it now. You're already there. He said, hey, if they don't obey the word, listen, that they also may without the word. Even if they don't go to church, even if they won't listen to the preacher, even if they won't read the Bible, he says that they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. They watch you, and lost people need to see something real. They don't need to hear a bunch of talk and see somebody that don't back it up. They got to see something real. Listen, in the time, I shared with that man yesterday. Listen, he's going through a hard time. I understand it's hard. I feel for him. I can't reach him where he's at, but I feel for him, and I want to help him. But I told him, I said, unless you have a relationship with Christ, it ain't going to matter. I tried to share with him what made me strong. He's watched me. He knows there's something different in my life. It's real. He knows it. He told me, he said, I've never been around people like y'all. That's sad to me. And ain't nobody ever tried to reach him. But here's what it says. He says, look here, while they behold, the husbands behold, your chaste conversation coupled with fear. What does that mean, chaste? It means, listen, they need to see your pure life. Your life that's pure from every fault. Listen, by you being honoring to your husband and you following Christ and living according to Christ and what he's told you and his will for your life, then they see, hey, this is real. She's not just trying to nag me to get me to go to church, keep me from sitting home drinking my beer and watching the ball game. She's not trying to nag me for that. She's not just trying to get me to quit going and gambling and doing all the things that I'm doing, I'm having fun doing. She's not just trying to spoil my fun. What's going on in her life's real. This is real. It's pure. And he said, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward apparel of plaiting the hair, wearing the gold, and putting on of apparel." Not trying to fancy yourself up on the outside. Now that's, by the way, them Pentecostals that hang on to that and say that's why they don't wear makeup, it also means they shouldn't wear clothes if they're going to buy that. Putting on of apparel means putting on clothes, amen? He said, it's not in what you put on the outside. It's not how you fix your hair, ladies. It's not if you got on gold and jewelry and all that. No, it's the hidden man of the heart. It's being pure in here. That's what will get to them. Amen? In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. We want it to be clean. God wants it to be clean. God wants our heart to be clean. He wants us to be genuine and real, and he wants us to be clean. And then we come to the third one, and that's a word called kataros. And it means, and here's what we'd do with that gold coin. If we could, we'd take it to somebody who knows metals, and we'd have them check it to make sure it's pure gold, 24 karat. And they can check that stuff and they can see how many carats of gold it is. If there's any kind of tin or nickel or anything, copper or brass mixed in, some other alloy mixed in with the gold, they want to make sure that it's free of that. 2 Timothy 2:22, the Bible says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You see, look up here. You can't live for God and try to live a Christian life still mixed with your youthful lusts. And that's what a world full of people are trying to do right now. The people who go to these liberal churches, the people who go to these big mega churches where they don't preach anything that ever would offend anybody, they're mixing something phony with something real. God don't want that. God's not going to share. Amen? God don't want you to bring in your opinion. God don't want you to bring in what you learned somewhere else. God don't want you to mix in some worldly view. He don't want you to mix in the views of some other religion, some other false doctrine. God don't want that garbage in your life. God wants you to have this book and this book alone. Pure doctrine. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Those who are not who are unsoiled by other false garbage. Amen. When somebody gets saved, they're to leave that behind, what they had before, and they're to come to Christ a new creature. Old things are passed away. It's over. 1 Timothy 2:1-5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. What God wants is pureness. He wants you to be his and nothing else. You're not to belong to him and other things. You're not to mix in your opinion. You're not to mix in the traditions of men. Well, that's the way Papa always done it. Well, Papa was wrong if he goes against God. Granny didn't teach me that way. Well, who cares what Granny had to say? She ain't lining up with Jesus. Don't mix that stuff in there with God. Don't mix superstitions and traditions with what God says. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee off. I already read that. Never mind. So how do we cleanse ourselves? How do we cleanse ourselves? That's what he told us to do. Cleanse yourself of all filthiness of your body and your spirit. How do we cleanse ourselves? Pretty simple. We get under the blood. We get under the blood. See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Well, I was at one time, and so were you. We were a long way off from God. You know what? We were made nigh. I couldn't come to God. I couldn't come to God. But see what? The blood of Christ was there. The blood of Christ was enough. The blood of Christ was sufficient. And because I came through the blood, I was way off from God. But now, guess what? I'm made nigh. I'm with him now. See, the blood of Christ can take all these things away. The blood of Christ can change everything. It took me from being a worthless, lost, hell-bound sinner and made me a child of God who's blessed. It made me nigh, brought me near to him, brought me near to enjoy the fellowship with him, brought me near so I could receive the blessings of God in this life by being cleansed. God's not going to give me those blessings unless I'm clean. I wouldn't be fit to use them unless I'm clean. John 1:7, listen, he said we were far off. We have been made nigh. That's past tense. What about present tense? Well, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, you know what? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we're going to have to be clean. Because you can't walk with God dirty. But if we get clean, we separate, we get clean, and we walk in the light as he is in the light. You know what I just picture myself? I picture myself walking with Jesus, just holding his hand, just walking and talking, just enjoying fellowship with my Savior. And he said, if we do that, guess what? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. See, the blood brought me near. The blood keeps me clean. That ain't all. Then there's 1 John 1:9, which some people hate on this verse. I don't want to hate on this verse. I love this verse. Some people can take and abuse it too, but I believe it's very valuable to listen to. If we confess our sins. See, it ain't enough to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that again. No. Lord, I know it's wrong. You said it's wrong in your word. I know it's wrong. Lord, it's ruining me. I don't want it in my life. Cleanse me of it. I don't want to, listen, not only confess it, but forsake it. Walk away from it. Trust him to give you power over it. If we confess our sins, that is so crucially important. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. It's right for him to do so, to forgive us. I don't know. I don't understand how God's able to forgive me over and over and over and over and over. I don't understand how he does it, because I couldn't, but he does. He's faithful. He doesn't change. He's the same every time. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But then there's an and after that. You got forgiven, but that's not the end. Now that we've separated, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, we're clean. Now the world can look at us. Hey, listen, that sin ain't weighing us down anymore. The world can look at us and say, you know what? They're for real. And I've been watching their life, and man, what they say and they're living, it's real. It's pure. And they ain't like everybody else who's trying to straddle the fence. Ain't no alloy mixed in. It's real. It's genuine and pure. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is there anything in your life that you know of that's hindering you? Is there anything in your life, maybe you've been to the altar about 100,000 times, but you've never really gotten victory over because you never got clean? You just put a patch on it. Some of us got so many patches, that's about all we are is patches. We need to get renewed. We need to get clean. Not just separate, because if we separate, we can always go back. Let's get removed from it and clean. What about you this morning? Is there anything that Holy Ghost of God has brought to your remembrance, brought to your attention? If so, don't sit here and just tell you why. I'll just sit here and I'll deal with it later. Deal with it now. God's got it to your attention right now. If he's got it to your attention right now, he wants you to deal with it right now. Or he wouldn't have brought it up. Let's honor the word of God. Let's understand God hates that uncleanness. And let's get it out of our lives so God can quit whooping us and start blessing us. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you bless and be upon each and every one of us this morning.